Well, good morning, Green Valley. I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Glad you're here in person. And for those of you who are joining us online, a special hello to you. We're glad that you've joined us this morning as well. Years ago, in the town where my mother and father lived, the local newspaper there did a full-page article on my dad. And it was in the lifestyles. And it was entitled, Retiree Reflects on Living the American Dream. And he told a story in there, and I had heard it and kind of walk with him through it and hearing him talk about it. But every time I read it, I can't imagine all the things that he lived, but his mindset even more than that. And this is what he said in that article. He says, my life is about my opportunities. I had a mom and dad that didn't have anything. They were sharecroppers in Pickens County, Alabama. I grew up in a little house with no water and no electricity. My parents never finished high school and didn't have a bank account or an automobile. But, and this is what I want you to get, we were rich to have them as parents. There was something that went on in the environment that he grew up in that he didn't have anything that the world says you need to have to be rich. It's amazed me that I've traveled around the world going to places to help people the things that my dad didn't have. But he thought he was rich. Let me ask you this. Are you making your family rich today? Are you making your family rich? Because everybody in here, because the fact that you're alive means you're a part of a family. You say, well, all my family's died. It doesn't matter. You're still part of a family. Some of you said, I've adopted a family. We even have people in our churches like, hey, all my family's about passed away, or they live way off. I've adopted this group. These are my people. That's my family. And so whether you're a husband, wife, mother, father, aunt, uncle, cousin, whatever it might be, you fit into some other circle, you're part of a family. And let me ask you this. Are you making your family rich? You see, I think one of the things that you have to think about when you think about that is, what are we trying to do when it comes to family life? As a cousin or aunt or uncle, and I drove to Huntsville yesterday to see two great nieces play three-year-old and six-year-old t-ball. There will be some illustrations about that later in the coming weeks. And I loved every minute of it. But what are we trying to do in whatever this thing is that I'm a part of? One of the things I always challenge people with is whatever family you're a part of and whatever role you play in that family, whether it's third cousin, parent, husband, or wife, you should want to make that circle, whatever you call family, a place that other people want to return to. Have you ever thought about whether anybody wants to return to the thing you call family? I mean, as a spouse, have you ever thought, does my wife really want to come back here? Does my husband really want to come home, or he's just being obligated? I mean, do you think as parents, do your kids really want to come home? Are your kids okay when it's just you guys, or is there always got to be another crew involved? I don't think kids, if you're a teenager or a college student, have you ever thought about whether your parents want you to come home? Some of them don't. I mean, I'm not trying to be ugly, but the reality is that some parents would just prefer you not come home. And when you do come home, they're really excited when you have to go back. I mean, when school started back in session learning, in-person learning, everybody's like, oh, that's so good, we're moving past COVID. COVID ain't got nothing to do with that. They just had to get you out of the house. Now you say, Jeff, that's so ugly. No, that's the reality of life. And you know why it's that way? Because of the way you act. I'm sure there were times my mother called me the joy. And I hope my sisters are watching, my brother. But there are some times I know she thought he needs to go somewhere else with his joy. Right? But you have to ask yourself, am I creating an environment that other people want to return to? Because you're responsible for that. You're creating an environment everywhere you go. So are you making your family rich? He said, I don't know. Well, today we're in this series called How To. And I want us to talk for a minute, whatever your family, whatever your situation looks like, how to make your family rich. And it starts with the mentality that we find in Genesis chapter 2. And many of you will know what Genesis chapter 2 says, but it's a mentality that starts there because sometimes I think it's so common we forget what it really is telling us. In Genesis chapter 2, God has created everything, and everything is in place. On a couple occasions, he said, this is good, this is very good. And then all of a sudden, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, things are not good. You ever read that story with that in mind? Everything's good, it's very good, and all of a sudden things aren't good. In verse 18, it just follow along as I read. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and the birds of the sky, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. Verse 20 says, he gave names to all the livestock and all the birds of the sky and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper for him. That was just right. Verse 21 says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep while the man slept. And the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. In verse 23, I just love this. He says, at last. Now you're talking, God. I mean, the lion is good, and the dog's good, and all these other things you got going on, but this is what I had in mind. At last, the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh, and she will be called woman because she was taken from man. And verse 24 says, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one, i.e., family. That's where you got your start. Whatever role you got today, that's where you got your start. And here's what I want to tell you before we get into how to make your family rich. Do you realize that you, because you're breathing today and you're here, that you are a part of something that started in the mind of God? As you're going through your life and as you're just going, your husband, wife, mother, father, aunt, uncle, cousin, do you know that every role that I play in all of those started in the mind of God? It was his dream. And so every one of those roles that I play, it's not a function, it's a role. The chair you're sitting in is carrying out a function. I have a role. And it started in the mind of God. Now, do you think of your family that way? Do you think about your role in your family going, oh, I'm a part of something bigger than myself. I'm a part of today in whatever role I have that started with God. So let me ask you, how are you going to make your family rich? Are you ready? I want to challenge you to do today to make your family rich by being fun and having fun. You ever thought about that? I mean, that's the last thing. Some of you are going, he's going to get real spiritual here. No. One of the problems that is this shadow, a cloud over our families is your family's not any fun. Oh, you're very religious, and you're very fill in the blank, but you're not any fun. But see, go back to, you think God created something going, I'm going to create the family, and I'm going to make you as miserable as I possibly can. I want to make it as difficult as I can. But see, sometimes we forget, we say the family started with God, and Jesus walked around on the planet, and he said, I have come that you might have life and have it at its very best. But somehow or another, we get in our head this thing called family. My role as husband, wife, mother, father, cousin, aunt, uncle, whatever. I'm just supposed to be miserable. No. If it started in your mind, yes. But not in God's. I mean, read in passages like Proverbs 17, it says, a cheerful heart, you know, we know this, don't you? A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. We think, well, that don't apply to family. Yes, it does. That's a principle. And if the spirit of your family is crushed today, you know why? It's because you need to lighten up. That God created you to enjoy the process, to enjoy the journey, to have fun and to be fun. Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes this book, and you know, Solomon, he did a lot of living, and some of it not so good. And he experienced success in a lot of ways. He experienced failure. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's kind of going, let me just tell you what I've learned on the journey. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 15, he says, so I recommend, now he's just talking about life because he's lived it. He says, I recommend having fun because there's nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. All Solomon says is, hey man, this thing called life, it's got some bumps. So along the way, guess what? Have some fun. Now we read passages like that and go, he's not talking about the family. You're alive and you're part of a family. He's talking about the family too. Ecclesiastes 9:9, he would put it this way. He says, live happily. See, he's getting more and more pointed here. Live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life. He's not like a very positive person at times. But all he's saying is, hey, life's tough. He said, but in the midst of that, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. All that means is, listen, this thing called life can get tough, but have some fun with the one you love. Have some fun in this thing that God has put you in called the family. I'm going to be honest with you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this doesn't apply to you. You're going, man, I am buying into all this. I'm not talking to you for right now, but you can just listen in and go, y'all need to do better. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you have family and you are a family and you're a part of a family, you ought to be modeling fun to the world. You ought to be modeling joy that's not impacted by circumstances. You ought to be the one that's first person to lighten up. We live in a world where everybody's offended. I don't understand it. That as a follower of Jesus Christ and your identity comes with who Jesus says you are, while we're always offended about everything. Now, I expect the world to be offended, but if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you shouldn't be offended in here, out there, or your family. You are who he says you are. That ought to be enough. And so we got to lighten up. We need to learn to celebrate each other. Husbands and wives, guess what? Celebrate each other. If you become mother and father, celebrate each other. Parents, celebrate your kids. Kids, this will be a foreign concept. Celebrate your parents. Don't wait till it's too late. Celebrate each other. Wherever you find yourself. When my dad passed away a few years ago, I started digging through all of his stuff. I found a letter that I'd never seen before. I don't know if it was like in a diary or what. But it's a letter that he wrote 53 years ago. And I brought it today. I just put it down to read it to you. And in this letter, he says, from 1968, January 1968, he says, and he's describing himself. He says, a wonderful wife named Jean, four healthy children, Keith, 13, Sandra, 11, Pam, 7, Jeff, 2 months. And in parentheses, it says, and he's the joy. But this is what he said. 1968. These are my four kids. This is my wonderful wife. And this is how he summed it up. They make my house a good place to live wherever it may be located. He'd lived in 7 states at that point as a family. What's your attitude toward the people you call family? Unfortunately, this idea that, hey, I'm fun and I want to be fun has kind of gone out the door because we live in these pressurized things we call family. There's tension between husband and wife. There's tension between mother and father. There's tension between kids and parents and kids. We have these schedules where we're just go, go, go. We haven't learned yet as a family. You cannot build a relationship on the way to somewhere. You'll have memories. You just won't have a relationship. And so if you want to make your family rich today, make the decision, whatever role you play, be fun, have fun. Second thing is this: you want to make your family rich today? Build a faith-building environment. Have a faith-building environment. When God was getting his people together in the Old Testament, and he was always saying, this is how we're going to function. You're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. He was always telling them how things work best. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, he tells them this. He says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. What is this? Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders, right? As a post-it note in the Old Testament, by the way. Biblical. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. He's simply saying, listen, this thing you call the family, you're my people. He says, you have to have a faith-building environment. Let me ask you, as a family member, how do you explain today to those in your family? I mean, y'all know what's going on today. Have you watched the news? I mean, how do you explain today? How do you explain the racism and the hate and the division and the gender identity issues and the redefining of marriage and the freedom and sexuality that's rampant and the sinfulness? How do you explain all that? How do you explain the craziness that people who are followers of Jesus Christ and the way they act, how do you explain all of that? You better explain it. Somebody's going to explain it. And what he's simply saying, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you as a part of the family, you're building faith. And you're answering the question, what does Scripture teach us about this? You're the person that says, I've got more conversation than I do presentation to give today. Some of the problems in some of your families is you got a lot of presentation and you ain't had a conversation yet. Presentations seldomly answer what's going on today. A conversation about the truth will. And so he used to back up and go, listen, in my family, what are we doing? And are you teaching and are you modeling in your role? Your role. This is what this means according to Scripture, and this is how you respond to that. Because I think so many times, I'm going to tell you what, the church, listen, only the church, we major on minors. There's some people who are bent out of shape about stuff that don't matter. I'm still waiting after 30 years for somebody to walk in my office and go, you know, I'm just tore down and I'm upset because we not got enough lost people getting saved and we got too many people going to hell. But everybody wants to talk about the minors. Things that Scripture doesn't speak to and ain't got anything to do with following Jesus. Make the decision in your life, in your family, I'm going to be a faith builder. I'm going to explain what today means according to Scripture. That's it. You want to make your family rich? Be fun, have fun, be a faith builder? I made it easy for you. Third one is be a fan. Be a fan. Be a fan. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 puts it this way. It says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. Cheer them on. Encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know what your family needs? They need some more cheerleaders and a lot less critics. I don't know your family. I don't know your role, but here's what I do know. In my family, as husband, father, uncle, great uncle, cousin, there'll be enough critics in their life. I'm going to be a cheerleader. They won't have to go looking for critics. And I don't want to have to go looking for a cheerleader. I saw that played out in my own life. Going back to my dad, when I was in the third grade, we got a new pastor, Dr. Gene Henderson. Somewhere around the third grade, his son would be a lifelong friend of mine. We were actually seminary roommates. Dr. Henderson came, and he had a large family, and he had that one son, so I was interested. I was glad he came, and somebody my age. And I remember at some point, not long after he came, we met him. And there's his family. You know, you're meeting a new pastor and his family. And I can remember my dad. We talked about it later on in life for a long time. He walks up to him. He introduces everybody, and this is the clan. And he says, I want to let you know, you don't have to worry about us. And we're not going to bother you. But just always know we're behind you. Just always know we're behind you. You see, we live in a world of fair-weathered fans. My family's on me right now because I'm a fair-weathered fan. My family wanted me to go to Super Bulldog weekend. Mississippi State's playing Ole Miss in baseball. And my children are there. And I said, I'm not going unless I have a reserved seat with a chair back. Well, that created quite a discussion. There were 13,000 people at the game yesterday. Most schools in SEC didn't have a total of 13,000 yesterday. 13,000 in a stadium, don't seat 13,000. And so I wasn't standing up, so that's all I've heard all weekend. This Fairweather fan. There's some other names they call me too, but I can't say those. And they weren't, they're not ugly. I'm just not sure what they mean. But we live in a world of fair-weathered fans. And Parker's like, since he's not here, I was talking about him. And he said, Dad, I remember you used to talk about standing in the snow, in the cold, in the rain. You wouldn't leave a game until it was over. I'm past that. I am a fair-weathered fan. And that'll work with the Bulldogs. It won't work in your family, buddy. It won't work. It won't work in here. And there's some people that you're around, there's some kids, there's some young people, there's some young parents, there's some older parents, there's some grandparents here. They need to know somebody is for them. They need to know that there's loyalty somewhere, that there's security somewhere. I started telling my kids early on in life, don't you worry, I'm not going anywhere. Because you know what? I know they're going to have a lot of critics, and I know a lot of people are going to bail on them in life. That's just how it works. But you need to be the person that says, they might, but you can count on it. I'm going to be here. And your role as cousin, aunt, uncle, husband, wife, mother, father, you play that role. You say, why did you go to Huntsville yesterday to watch a 3-year-old and 6-year-old great nieces play? They're going to know. They're going to know. There's not a fair-weathered fan with Uncle Jeff. Somebody in your circle needs to know that. And you tell them that. Let me ask you, are you making your family rich? On Friday, Joel and I went to look for some flowers to plant. We went to local nurseries. So we're at this nursery, and she likes hydrangeas. So we're looking at these hydrangeas that are in this particular nursery, and they're really pretty, and she's asking about them, and she said they're hot pink, and they're blue, and they're purple, and they're white, and she says, but what I'm really looking for is pale pink. And so we're having this conversation with the man that owns the nursery, and he says, well, now you plant these here. And I said, well, now where do you plant them, and how do you plant them? Well, you plant them, and you use this kind of soil, put them in this position, in this condition. And then he said this, he said, but I don't know what color they'll be next year. What you talking about, Willis? What you mean they're not, you don't know what, were y'all aware of this? Why has nobody told me this? So I'm here, I'm going, what? He said, no. He said, they're blue now, but I can't guarantee you they're going to be blue next year. He said, the pH balance of your soil, in other words, the acidity of your soil will determine what color they are next year. Get out of here. And so when he said that, Joanna's in a deep conversation looking for pale pink hydrangeas. And I said out loud, "That's going to be good in the sermon Sunday." And that guy looked like he had seen a ghost and walked off. And so if we want pale pink hydrangeas next year, we've got to change the makeup of the environment of the soil. I was going to say, who knew that? But evidently you did. Let me ask you, what do you want for your family? What do you really want for your family? Because what you want, you may not get, because the environment in which they are planted will never, ever produce that. And so you've got to change the environment. You know what? You know what's going to happen next year? We're going to have hydrangeas. I have no idea what color we're going to have, but we will have hydrangeas. You know what you're going to have come tomorrow morning? Family. What kind of family are you going to have? I have no idea. But it will be determined by the environment you've created. Are you making your family rich?